Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SIS Limited Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bharat Bakshi, President, M&A, Investor Relations and Ventures from SIS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bakshi.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Q4 and FY 2023 earnings call. Along with me, I have our Group Managing Director, Rituraj Sinha, and our Group CFO, Devesh Desai. I hope everyone has had a chance to look at our results and the earnings note, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and our company's website. We are very happy to report that the business continuing to show strong revenue growth, with the growth rates now heading back towards pre-COVID levels. On a consolidated basis, as you've probably seen, we grew revenues by almost 13% in FY 2023. India Security grew almost 20%. Facility Management grew by 36%. Our Cash Logistics JV, which we do not consolidate, grew by 38% over last year. Very strong growth across all segments in India. The international business was pretty much flat over last year, but this was in spite of a lot of the one-time COVID-related contracts falling off. Basically, international was able to pick up other business to compensate for the one-time contracts falling off. Even with these international numbers included, as I mentioned, on a consolidated basis, the overall revenue still grew almost 13% over last year, which we feel is a very good outcome, showing very strong business growth across all segments. On the margin front also, as guided by us earlier, margins are now steadily increasing. Over the course of the last two quarters, our EBITDA margins have increased by 50 basis points. Earnings per share for FY 2023 are 7.1% higher than in FY 2022. The other good news is that this quarter also saw strong cash generation, with consolidated OCF to EBITDA for the quarter at 144%, allowing us to repay approximately 83 crores of debt subsequent to the quarter end. Our net debt to EBITDA from 2.06x in the previous quarter is now down to 1.75, which is again a good outcome given interest rates have been going up. Overall, we are very happy with the business momentum. We will now turn it over for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Koushik Mohan from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the great set of numbers. Sir, I just want some clarity on your operating margins and what is your guiding for the future operating margins, as well as how is your growth in the other part of the business where, which is non-related to employees on the automation part of it, AI?
This is Devesh here. As you can see from the results we published, we've had good growth in all segments, both in revenue and on the operating margins. As we had guided earlier, we will be, we are slowly, steadily going back to the pre-COVID levels of margin, and this is another quarter of EBITDA growth which we have delivered. On your second question was on the guidance. At this point, we are not giving any guidance, but so that's, I'll leave it at that. I'd only like to say that we will continue working on improving the margins and revenue growth. Hopefully will be at similar levels of this year, but at this point we're not giving any guidance.
Yeah, if I may just add one sentence to that, is that as Devesh said, you know, the focus continues to be on increasing the margins, and as we mentioned on our call a couple of quarters ago that we thought we had hit the lowest and things would keep moving up. And as I mentioned in the initial commentary that margins have moved up last two quarters, I think at a high level we can say we expect the trend broadly to continue because we are focusing quite a bit on the margin front. But as Devesh said, we don't have any exact guidance that we normally give out. But yes, we do see the improvement, hopefully continuing.
Sure.
I hope that answers your question.
Yes. I have another question. Sir, how about the sales? How are you looking at your sales, sir? Is there any promise of orders that you have it in your hand currently? Because once any one bank gets in tie up with you, they actually stay for a very, very longer time. So I just wanted to understand what is the average duration that the client is staying with you, as well as what are the expectations that with these existing clients, what you expect for them in the coming future?
So actually on clients, yes, we are seeing very good client additions, both in new clients as well as existing clients who are increasing their business with us across all segments. Again, whether it's securities, whether it's facilities or cash. We don't have much client concentration, as you're probably aware. We have, you know, many thousands, almost 10,000 clients in the security side itself. So there is very low client concentration. In terms of contracts, again, it varies a lot. Some of these get automatically
updated. The conference is now being recorded.
Some of these get automatically updated. Some come up for renewal on a basis. But on average, you can say typically about 3 years or so is again, on average, how long we have these contracts. But as I said, I think the bottom line is that we have very strong client concentration, very less client concentration, and we are seeing good traction across all segments of the sectors we cover.
So I'll just add to what Bharat said. So while a typical contract length or average contract length would be 3 years, we've had a number of clients who've been with us for a number of years with several extensions. So some clients have been there for 15 years or 20 years, 10 years. So there's a large spread of clients who've been sticky with us, and they give a strong base for our business on a year-to-year basis.
In the history, you have guided that you wanted to become a 10% market share in this business. And according to my understanding, the entire security system is growing at a 25% CAGR. So in that case, if you wanted to be the 10% of the market, and if the market is growing at only at 25% levels, so what is your actual points that you're putting forward that you'll be achieving them? What are your growth drivers that you're expecting this will be achieved for you?
Hello, this is Tulad here. I think, let me correct you. I don't think the security market is growing by 25%. I don't follow where you got that data point from.
Okay.
The security industry growth ballpark during the last 2 years after COVID was subdued, it has grown definitely close to 12-14% this year. And against that, SIS has grown 20% this year, which basically means that we picked up market share in the process. We believe that if this exercise is repeated over a cycle of next few years, our market share, which is currently sub 5%, can move up. And then with a few strategic acquisitions, our ambition is to lock ourselves into a 10% market share in India. But that is a function of both organic development over a few years, not one, two, but several, as well as some strategic M&A.
Got it, sir. Got it. I have a last and final question, sir. It's on the taxes. You have a lot of benefits on the taxes side. Sir, if you can put two, three benefits that majorly contributes to your tax benefits.
So if you look at the earnings note, we've given a note on the major tax benefits we have, which is under Section 80JJA of the Income Tax Act. We fairly well explained it in a bit of detail. So I would request you to kindly go through that, and if you have any questions after that, we will be happy to answer you.
Sure, sir. Thanks for this. I'll come back in the queue if I have questions.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Arthriya Ramkumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to ask you about, cash management business, which is now close to 17% of our EBITDA. So, and in the press release, it's stated that it's driven by doorstep banking and cash in transit. So I just want to know, what are the trends which are driving this growth? And going forward in the future, you know, are we targeting, will the growth come from the same areas, or are we targeting, you know, other segments of cash management?
See, let me first correct you. Our cash business is not the typical cash company. And I say that because less than 20% of our revenue comes from ATMs. 80% of our revenue is non-ATM. So first thing you need to understand is that it's a business that is more into bank outsourcing than typical cash management. I mean, if you juxtapose it with the other listed company in the space, you will see 80% of the revenue is ATM linked, whereas in our case, 20% of revenue is ATM linked. So that's the level of contrast. Now that also sort of gives you a broad sense that because you're doing bank outsourcing services, there are so many things like note counting, currency management, peggy operations, you know, invoice collection work for electricity companies. There is so many other service lines that we have which are attractive for us. Value cargo, you know, cash deposit. So all of this is what is driving the growth, not the ATM side.
Sure. Thank you so much. And could you just throw some more color on, the doorstep banking part of it, and what's driving the growth there?
Well, I think more and more people are opting for agencies like us to collect money at their doorstep and deliver cash at their doorstep. There's also a function of organized retail. As the penetration of organized retail in India goes up, there are more chains, whether they are sari store chains or jewelry store chains or McDonald's chains or whatever type of chain. You know, they generally outsource their cash pickup and delivery operations. So people like us actually go and collect money at fixed times and deliver instruments, not just cash, but also other instruments at doorstep. So as this must be seen as a sort of something that's very closely linked to the organized retail piece. So as organized retail boosts, doorstep banking will continue to grow.
Sure, thank you so much. And I just had one last question on the margins on the cash management. So I think year on year, for Q4, it has declined. So just want to understand what the reason is. And for the full year, it has actually improved by more than 100 basis points. So is this a sustainable margin rate, or I just want to understand some about that?
So margins for, if I understand clearly, you're talking about margins for cash logistics, right?
Yes, cash, yeah.
So our cash logistics business already is delivering 14-15% EBITDA margin.
Right.
And, I believe that, as the business gains further market share, you know, one of the big things, the decisions that we took around 4-5 years back was to stay away from the ATM side of business, and that's helped us significantly. And the other call we took is not to make a cash company that is a market leader across India. We focus on North and East India, and we go into like extreme territories like Northeast parts, you know, Arunachal Pradesh and you know, such pockets, or even Bihar for that matter, Odisha, you know. So we go into territories where the competition is low, our market share therefore is higher. Higher market share means greater density on each catchment route. Higher density on each catchment route means more margins per route per day. And we've implemented tremendous amount of technology today. We are the only business in India which is able to give you profitability per stop. So if my cashman stops for 30 minutes at a sari shop to collect money, I can actually compute the cost of that stop and whether I make margin on that or not. That's a function of all the technology we've implemented in the last 4 or 5 years.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That was really helpful. I just had one last question. I just wanted to know, do we compete in this doorstep banking with, you know, certain payment banks, because we are seeing that they are also, you know, active in this space?
Sorry, I didn't follow that. Can you repeat that?
Are payment banks also providing the service of doorstep banking, like cash management?
As far as I know, the top 10 banks in India do not operate a single cashman. You can search for yourself. But my understanding of this industry is that post demonetization, whoever was running cashman also were doorstep banking on their own. They have abandoned to do so.
Sure. Thank you so much. That is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1. Our next question comes from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the, you know, on the international security services business. So, you know, we have been seeing that the margins for this business has been coming off. So can you please explain, the reason behind it, and, you know, where you see, you know, where actually you see to stabilize? And also another aspect to it is that, the salary per employee, what I see here is, is almost like double the minimum wages that is there in Australia. So what is driving these higher realizations in the international business?
So I'm very happy that you're taking a deep interest in this, in the international business, and I welcome you to visit our Australian operations directly. I understand that that's already been set up for you. I in fact encourage more and more analysts or investors, whoever wants to visit any of these countries, or you're visiting already and you want to stop over at our office and meet our management, we'll be very happy to facilitate that. But coming back to the question, our international business margins are down. That's a statement of fact. But I have repeatedly said that I please compare international margins to pre-COVID. Even prior to COVID, the international business was hovering around 4-4.5% EBITDA margin. Even now, it is settled back at 4-4.5% EBITDA margin. What you saw at FY21 and FY22 with the international business reporting 5, 5.5, 6, even 6.5% margin in some quarters was completely exceptional. And that was on account of over $100 million of temporary COVID work that came at supernormal profits. All of that revenue has exited the system now. Just in the last financial year, FY23, $84 million worth of COVID-related contracts came to a stop, and obviously those contracts were more profitable than our standard routine contracts that we got to replace them. So that you will have to understand that the international business is a 4-4.5% business, and we are working to tweak it. It might go to 5, but that's the pre-COVID normal for many, many years prior to COVID, and that will continue to be what it is. It is not suddenly going to become a 6% margin business. What will happen is that the share of international business in our overall revenues and EBITDA is now sub 35%. More 40% than 35, but it is going down. As the share of international business slides from the 38-40% share of EBITDA and revenue to a lower number, you know, the blended margin of SIS group will hopefully go up. And I have maintained and I repeat that the India security business, India facility management business are both capable of delivering 6% plus EBITDA margin. They were delivering 6% plus EBITDA margin prior to COVID, and I don't see any reason why these businesses should not go back at 6% plus.
Okay. So, I know you mentioned that the margins are back to pre-COVID levels, but if I see the realizations of the international business, it's still around 50% higher than what we used to do pre-COVID. So are you saying that the realizations are also going to normalize over the over the next 2 years for the international business?
What do you mean by realization? I didn't follow.
Salary per employee. So if I just calculate the revenue by the total international employees. So yeah.
No. So the margin, the gross margin remains the same. The EBITDA margin remains the same. So the salary, whatever percentage we were gaining of our employee's monthly salary, we remain to realize the same amount of money. That doesn't change.
Okay. So,
Let me be more explicit. If your question is gross margin in Australia going down? The answer is no.
Okay. So, more from a broader perspective. So, any overall, both as the security services in India, Australia, and the facility management. If you can broadly explain what part of your revenues is from, basic services, which is the services segment, and from solutions, right? So, if I understand that, services is typically the this thing cost plus, cost plus services fee model, plus solutions is basic services plus some amount of tech in it, right? So what part of the revenues is from services and solutions? If you can break it up within segments, it will be helpful. And also in terms of your current contracts, what part of the contracts we have as a fixed service fee model, and what is on variable service fee model?
So it's a good question you asked, Amit. There are four layers in the outsourced services market, right? And I've said this multiple times, and let me repeat it. The first layer is what you call the staffing layer, which works on fixed INR fee per head per month.
Yeah.
In that layer, we don't operate. We are not a staffing company. Then there is layer two. In layer two is services sector, where we are responsible for outcomes, not for just providing body shop. In such contracts where we are responsible for security of a building or maintaining registers or upkeep or cleaning of equipment or HVAC services or whatever not, these are service level agreements, SLA based contracts, where we are responsible for outcomes. And that layer two is basically a 5-7% EBITDA margin business, and that is 5-7% EBITDA margin business because we charge percentage based service fee, not fixed INR based service fee.
Okay.
85% of SIS, maybe even higher, is in this box. There is a third box. Box number three, or layer number three, is what we call services, where we do everything that is involved in the service layer, but on top we add a lot of technology. It could be mechanized cleaning, it could be CCTV cameras on OPEX basis, it could be, basically things like weed protect, alarm monitoring response. Now, these businesses have EBITDA margin range of even up to 15%. And our WeProtect business currently, which is barely, you know, it's a very small business, it's still 5-7 crores monthly invoice value. Ballpark, you know, is still delivering, you know, close to 15% plus EBITDA margin. So we have proof of concept. It's just that the alarm business is fairly small right now. Over the next few years, we hope to build that up. We have 15,000 connections right now. We hope to build it up to 50,000 connections in near term. And should that happen, obviously you will see a, you will see that more evidently, the impact of solutions. We also, the guarding business also does a lot of man-tech. Like, we just picked up a large contract from Vedanta, which is not just manpower, but drones and mobile app and, you know, CCTV-based video surveillance, you know, AI-based actually video analytics. And, you know, that's again a contract which will deliver an EBITDA margin of close to 10%. The last and the ultimate layer in our industry is what we call route-based solutions. This is the cash industry or the pest control industry. Now, what happens here is that the gross margin is high. The gross margin could be 35, 40, 45% in pest control and in cash logistics type business because it's route-based. You also get the benefit of route-based efficiencies. And resultantly, these businesses deliver 20% plus EBITDA margin. Our cash business is in that pocket, which is now roughly 17%. If you look at SIS with cash, almost 17% of our revenues are there. Pest control is another 1 or 2%, so you can say. So next time when you see our earnings report, I have asked my team to put out what share of our revenues is in what bracket, maybe segment-wise or overall, they'll see what they can do. But we'll try and give you a more clearer picture. Because I think for the longest time, last 5 years at least since we got listed, we have been constantly compared to the wrong peer set. We are not a staffing company. We are not a 2-3% EBITDA margin business. Structurally, we went down to 4% or 4.5% because of COVID. We have in the past demonstrated ability to deliver 6% plus, and we have every intent to go back to 6% plus.
So, now you mentioned this services is 85% of the overall revenue. So, in that services model, what part of the contracts would be on a fixed service fee model and a variable service fee model? If you can give some number around that.
Well, like I said, the fixed INR based. I mean, there could be 5-7%, but I don't think it's going to be more than that. I mean, that would also be in case of like some large bank which has a RFP of, you know, hundreds of manpower or maybe 5 crores of revenue, and they have put a RFP like that. But generally, by and large, it's not the case.
Okay. And so my last question is on the ATJJ benefits that we're taking. So what's your view on the ATJJ benefit till how long can it continue? And also in terms of the income tax refunds that we have to get from the income tax department, because still we are paying other taxes which we have to take the refund back from the department. So till which financial year we have got the refunds?
Okay, firstly on the ATJJ, as long as it continues, we will take the benefit. There is no notification or intimation from the government that it is going to stop. So as long as it is there, it continues. If you look at the Q4 cash flow statement, you will see that the taxes number is a positive and not a negative, and that shows that we are getting our refunds from the income tax department. Your last question as to up to which year we have got it, I'm sorry, that's not something I can disclose.
Okay, so thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead, please.
So my first question is regarding our receivable part. Our revenues have grown by 13%, but our receivables have grown by 20%. What's the reason for that?
Yeah, so as so there are two things. When we compare the revenue and the receivables also include a GST component. So that goes up by around another 18 or 20%, depending on the geography which it covers. And we also reported in our earnings note, if you look at the successional earnings note, we also report how the DSO is going up and down. So unfortunately in this year, because certain clients who normally pay at the year end, they did not pay up at the year end, they paid in April. So temporarily our DSO had gone up in March, which has come back down in April. And that is why you see that there's a difference between the two numbers.
Okay, so my second question is regarding this cross-selling opportunity between our security and FM business. I guess currently only 6% clients are using both the services. So as these verticals, the FM vertical and the service, the security verticals, these are managed separately. So how do we approach these cross-selling opportunities internally? And what is our strategy to capture this cross-selling opportunity? Because I think we have a significant headroom to grow this 6% into something like 20-25 something. And do we have any internal targets for cross-selling within the organization?
I think cross-selling is something that we do on a, you know, in a way that we don't end up confusing the customer, whether we are a security company, FM company, a pest control company, or electronic security company. So what we call it is cross-referencing. What it means is that the guy who sold security to, let's say, your building is not going to suddenly go there and start talking about pest control the next day. In such cases, what happens is that, you know, customers get confused whether you're talking to a security company or what type of service company, jack of all trades, master of none. So what we do is what we call cross-referencing. In top 14 cities in the country, which constitute roughly 65% of SIS revenues, we have created what we call the city coordinator group, which has representatives of all group companies operating in that city or state who are members of that council. They meet once every month to exchange references and pass to each other contacts and updates. And then, let's say for example, I would happen to the Gati guy in the city of Chennai, for example, in a cross-referencing, in a city coordination meeting, says that, okay, I've got 10 new contracts. Other people in the FM business or in pest control or electronic security, you know, raise their hand and say, look, I also want to get to know this customer. Can you give me a reference? He simply passes on the reference and writes to the customer an email saying, you know, here's my colleague. He wants to go and meet you to share about whatever his service may be. And please give an appointment. That's it. That's where the referencing stops. That's the model we adopted. We do not push cross-sales targets for our team. We believe each of our businesses is capable of delivering its own growth. And so far, that's also been demonstrated. For example, the 20% growth in security is not hinged upon how much cross-selling happens.
Okay. So, sir, is there any target, something like, where you feel the 6% can grow to?
Can you repeat that question, please?
Are there any internal targets, any ballpark figure where this 6% can grow to? Like, most of our clients are using both the facility from some other service provider. So, isn't it like a...
This is a matter of strategy of the company. There is no internal target. Cross-selling is not our biggest growth engine. We don't have an internal target. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that's the way SIS operates.
Thank you. Thank you so much for replying.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dharma Venkatsar, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon, sir, and hope you are doing well and fine.
Yes, all well. Can you...
Yes, sir. Yeah. So my first question is regarding our international business. So in our previous calls, we have mentioned that due to the COVID contracts, our aim for us is to make sure that we don't have a degrowth in revenue, and we will fulfill, like, whatever the drop-off comes from the COVID revenue, we will just make sure that the growth covers that up. So I just wanted to know how much we have, how much revenue we had due to COVID last year, so that we could get a sense of how much growth we have done on the international business this year.
So as Ritra just said a few minutes back, it was more than $80 million of contracts of COVID which were not there this year compared to the previous year. So I hope that gives you the answer.
Yes, sir. And second one is regarding our subsidiary in Singapore, Henderson. So how are the things looking there? Because the last few quarters we had some issues there. So how, like in terms of revenues and EBITDA, so how are things looking there and what is the outlook for the next year?
So as we have mentioned in the last few quarters, the turnaround strategy is there, has been put in place, the actions are there, the actions have been started, it's showing some improvement, but it could take a few more quarters to come back to a profitable state. But the actions are there, the improvements are there. On a quarter-to-quarter basis, there is improvement in the bottom line over there.
Can we expect it to be EBITDA break-even by the end of next year, like some sort of EBITDA level break-even? Because currently we are losing money, right, sir?
Yes, so that's the target definitely is to achieve it no later by that time.
Okay, sir. And in the previous call, you mentioned that like 1.6% of our customers who use security services use facility management services also. So and we are working towards a higher number. So is there any change in the number? I know it's just a one quarter, but just wanted to get an update on it.
So can you repeat that? I didn't understand the last part.
Sir, in the previous calls, you had mentioned that 1.6% of the customers who use security solutions also use facility management services from us. And you have mentioned that we are working towards getting this to a higher number. I know it's just a one quarter, one quarter before you said this. So I just wanted to know, is there any change and what are things looking like? Hello.
As you would note, we just had a 5 or 6 minute conversation exchanged on the stock selling, facility management, security, etc. I think you would have got your answers from there. But is there anything beyond that you want to know?
Maybe if anything beyond that, I will write to the company, sir. Okay, so that's fine.
Yeah.
And regarding the fixed wage inflation escalations which we had in our overseas companies, is all our contracts renewed on the new wage basis, or is there still some lag?
So all the wage increases have been passed on in Q3. So the full impact has come in Q4 as we had reported earlier.
Okay. And just one small request, sir. First of all, the presentation was pretty clear and it has all the details which anyone wanted to know about this company. Just one thing, sir. In the debt portion, the comparison was made between quarter and quarter. So if there was a comparison between year on year, how the net debt and the gross debt had moved, it will be even more clearer for us. Just a small request. That's all.
We will consider and we will see how it fits into the overall structure of the note.
Okay. And finally, regarding our cash business, our execution continues to be top notch and we are actually growing in faster than most of the players in our industry. So I just wanted to congratulate on that and thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1. Again, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rituraj Sinha for closing remarks.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. As I look back and summarize FY23, I think it's been a year of more wins and gains for SIS than the previous 2 years, which is FY21 and FY22. And I say so because SIS has always measured itself on three metrics: 20% year-on-year growth, 20% return on equity, and greater than 50% OCF to EBITDA. If I look at FY23, I see a year where after a gap of more than two, almost 3 years, growth came back. That's the biggest takeaway for me for FY23. Growth has come back, and it's come back with a bang. The India security business grew 20%, the FM business 36%, and the cash business 38% year on year. And more importantly, international business, while the numbers show only 0.7%, the reality of the matter is that the international business lost $84 million of COVID work, which is exactly 10% of revenue. So their revenue shrank by 10% and still they grew by 0.7%, which for me is almost a 10% growth, which did not get captured because of, you know, the way we account for things. So I think growth is back. All four engines are firing on growth, and that's fantastic news, because everything else is a function of growth and market share. So I'm glad that we are back on that. The second track, cash is the ultimate reality of business. I'm glad that we've had a super year-end cash position. In a year when interest rates are going through the roof in Australia, Singapore, India, we've had record collections. We have brought our DSO down by almost 1 or 2 days in several segments, but on an overall basis it sort of doesn't add up that much, but a lot of segments have done a fantastic job on collections. In fact, we have repaid $15 million of debt in Australia after 31st March, which has not been captured in the earnings note for obvious reasons. This happened 2 days back. But we've repaid debt to bring our interest cost within control, and that is possible because we have a strong cash position. So I think our cash generation is fantastic. I'm very happy with that, about that second aspect. Third thing is that our debt position, you know, was touching 2x EV/EBITDA. And that is a, you know, red line for me. I personally believe that more than 2x is a red flag, clearly. And I'm happy that post what's happened in the last 3 months, we are back at 1.7 times net debt EBITDA, and we will continue to work to keep that in check. You know, anything around 1.5 is our comfort zone. Below 1 is underutilization of balance sheet. More than 2 is crossing the red threshold. So I think on all those three levers, I think FY23 has been a great result and the team has done a fab job. Fourth lever, margins. I know we are nowhere near 6%. I know it bothers everybody. It's as much a concern for us as it is for Street. But the reality of things is that for the last three quarters, back to back, our margins is improving. The incremental improvement is not that significant, I understand that, but it is steadily moving in the right direction. I'm hoping that if the growth momentum continues, and if we continue to have a disruption 3 years, like FY23, April through to March, there was no COVID-related or any other kind of disruption in business. And if the coming 12 months are similar, I'm pretty sure that if the growth continues, operating leverage will kick in, SG&A has started to stabilize, and it will start to show up on the EBITDA margin as well. Thank you very much for your patience, and I hope to see you again sometime soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of SIS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.